right. Thank you, worship team. All right, at this time, we'll go ahead and dismiss the kids to Children's Church. So y'all have fun. Everybody else, open up with me to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. How many people does it take to keep up with Bailey? Looks like at least three. At least three. We may call for reinforcements later. All right. Thank you again for being here. I failed to welcome our guests, but thank you for being here. If this is your first time with us, thank you for worshiping the Lord here today. We are talking about discipleship, and that is going to be a huge point of emphasis going into 2022 for us. Last week, we talked about our need for discipleship. So we talked about the call of discipleship. The Bible gives us a clear call to every believer that we are to be discipled. We talked about the cost of discipleship. It will cost. It will cost things that we will never regret giving up, though. It will cost things that promise us things they can never deliver on, and it will replace them with things that will benefit us now and for eternity. So the cost is worth it. And we talked about the benefits of discipleship. So we talked about that last week. Wednesday night in our midweek Bible study, we talked about the beauty of discipleship. We talked about the story of Philip and the eunuch from Acts chapter 8. And today we are going to focus in on how discipleship groups work. What does it actually look like to participate in a discipleship group? What do you do in a discipleship group? Why do you do those things and not other things? That's the kind of questions we're going to answer this morning. But before we get to what it looks like, I want us to hopefully see the value in being part of a discipleship group and the dangers of not being part of a discipleship group and not being discipled. So let me, to start us off, let me give you a hypothetical scenario, okay? Let's say we got two people that are in very similar situations. So it could be two guys, two girls, two people, very similar situations. They both attend church fairly regularly. Both of them have a lot of pressure and a lot of stress from their job. And too often they bring that stress home, and then it begins to affect their home life as well. So we'll say one of them, this one over here, is in a discipleship group. So on a consistent basis, this one is meeting with other believers, studying the Word of God, praying for other believers and being prayed for, and being held accountable. That's going on in this one's life. In this one's life, there is no participation in a discipleship group. In fact, all of their relationships at church are strictly surface level. So, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? I'm fine. Keep going. And unfortunately, a lot of us, that's about as deep as our relationships with other believers go. So that's how it is for this one over here. They're not studying God's Word with other believers, and honestly, they struggle to consistently get in God's Word for themselves, right? They are not praying with other believers. They're not being held accountable spiritually. So for both of these people, the pressure of their jobs and just pressure of life leads to stress, which can get taken home and mess up the rest of our lives. And anytime you've got problems and stresses, there's going to be temptations, right? So there can be temptations to take the edge off with things that are not good for us, like drugs or alcohol, pornography, or having an affair. All of these things might bring some relief or pleasure for a short time, but in the end, they're going to wreck our lives and destroy our relationships. That's what sin does. So which one of these two people is in a better position to battle against temptation? this one over here that's being discipled or this one over here that is fighting the battle by themselves? Which one you think? The one that's being discipled. That's right. That's right. Now listen, discipleship groups are not perfect, right? People can still make horrible mistakes even when they're part of a discipleship group. Just like a person can sit in a sanctuary every Sunday and not be a Christian, right? Sitting in a building doesn't change your heart. Jesus does that, right? You can sit in a discipleship group and not be discipled if you resist what goes into being discipled, right? If we want discipleship to change us, then it requires commitment, submission, and vulnerability. But I believe a person that is committed to being a member of a discipleship group, a person that is submitted to God's authority over their life, and a person that is vulnerable with the other members in the group and allows them to know their struggles and bear their burdens like the Bible tells us that we're supposed to, I believe that person is going to find spiritual victory. I want spiritual victory in my life, don't you? I want to see strong, flourishing marriages in the church, don't you? Absolutely. I want to see people that are struggling with addictions get set free forever in the name of Jesus, don't you? Amen. I want to see every believer growing and maturing spiritually, reaching out to others with the love of Christ, sharing the good news of the gospel with the lost, don't you? Amen. I truly believe being a part of a discipleship group will play a huge role in bringing all those things to reality. So in just a few moments, we're going to begin thinking through how these groups work. But before we do that, let's stop and go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's so good to open your word. It's so good to hear from you. God, just help us on a daily basis not to look inside of ourselves and not to look around us in the world, but help us to look to you, to look to your word for guidance, for encouragement, for correction. God, speak to us through your word, God. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in this place. Touch every heart, touch every mind. And Lord, let us walk out of here fired up about you, Lord, and ready to do the work that you have called us to do, Lord. We love you and we do exalt you, Lord. No one compares to you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So, before we get to the main text in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want us to see the context and the purpose of the letter that the main text is in. It's very important that we don't ever just take a text out of its context and then try to figure out the meaning, or even worse, give meaning to it that's not there. The context of the passage will help us to understand what God is saying. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, it explains to us the context of where Timothy is and what he's doing when he receives this letter from Paul. So let me read that for us. 1 Timothy 1, verse 3 says, "As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain people not to teach false doctrines or to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. These promote empty speculations rather than God's plan, which operates by faith. Now, the goal of our instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have departed from these and turned aside to fruitless discussion." So, Timothy's in Ephesus. He's pastoring and leading there, and Paul is encouraging him to stand up and confront false teaching, okay? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15, we find the purpose for Paul's letter. Here's the reason he's writing to Timothy. Verse 14 of chapter 3, "I write these things to you, hoping to come to you soon. But if I should be delayed, I have written so that you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. So Paul is writing to Timothy in Ephesus so that he can teach God's people how to conduct themselves in God's house. So that's the reason for this letter, all right? So now let's look at our main passage, and I believe we'll have this on the screen. Let's look at our main passage together. But have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. Okay, go back 1 to 7, please. Okay, y'all say this with me. Rather, train yourself in godliness. Thank you. Verse 8. For the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive because we have put our hope in the living God. Y'all say that with me. Because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. So Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him to stand against the lies of the enemy and to guard and protect the truth of the Word of God. See, protecting the truth of the Word is absolutely crucial. It was then and it is today. Because if you think about it, the first spiritual attack involved a lie. The serpent in the garden, he did not attack Adam and Eve with a poisonous bite or with a sword or any other kind of weapon, right? The serpent attacked with a lie. Genesis 3:1 says, the serpent said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? That was his weapon. That's the way he chose to attack. He sowed seeds of doubt into their minds by deceiving them with an untruth. And all throughout human history, people have been deceiving other people through lies. This was even happening inside of churches. And that's what Timothy was battling against in Ephesus, and it still happens today. We've got to be careful to hold to the truth and to speak the truth against the lies of the enemy. One of the most powerful ways to hold on to God's truth is to study His Word and to hide it in your heart. And discipleship will help us to do just that. And that's why it's such a point of emphasis for us going forward. Remember the verses we just read. Paul told Timothy that godliness benefits us for eternity, right? Physical exercise is good, but it only benefits us in this life. Spiritual exercise benefits us forever. Discipleship will help us to grow spiritually, so we need to know what discipleship involves. So I want us to see 5 important parts of the process of discipleship, all right? Here's the first one. Number 1, discipleship involves studying the Word with others. Discipleship involves studying the Word with others. Now, each week I try my best to preach the Word faithfully clearly and effectively. And I do that with the expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to take the Word that's proclaimed and apply it to our hearts, right? All I am is the messenger. I'm just the vessel to speak the Word, and the Holy Spirit takes it and moves in our hearts and in our lives. But I also do that with the understanding that our sitting and listening to a speaker will only take us so far in understanding the Word. If our interaction with God's Word is limited to sitting and listening to a speaker, right, whether it's David Jeremiah or, you know, anybody, doesn't matter how good they are, we have got to dig in the Word for ourselves if we're truly going to understand it, apply it, hide it in our hearts. When we dive into the Word for ourselves and with other believers, that's when we can really hide it in our hearts, because I believe we engage a different part of our brain when we dig into the Word for ourselves. Because when we listen to somebody else talk, you know, I just don't think that we can understand it and really interact with it the same way as when we wrestle with the text ourselves. Both are good. You know, I believe sermons and Sunday school lessons are good. They are important. Both are important. Digging in the Word for ourselves and corporately like this, both are important. We don't need to neglect either one of them. But I do believe that sermons and Bible studies should complement the time that we've already spent in the Word, right? All right, I want to read 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture, y'all say all Scripture, is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So in these discipleship groups, we are going to look to consistently spend time in God's Word through several different things. First, regular Bible reading, all right? It can be really hard to find consistency in our lives when it comes to the Bible, but I believe discipleship will help with that immensely. We're going to be reading through the Word as a church family in 2022, and we're going to use a plan called the Foundations 260 Bible Reading Plan. So each week in your bulletin, on the Facebook page, on the church website, we'll have posted the readings for that week. And each week is going to have five readings. And so what that does is that gives us a couple of days each week to catch up and not get overwhelmed when inevitably life throws a curveball and you miss a reading or two. And I've done those, you know, read through the Bible in a year where you're reading five chapters every day. You miss a couple of days and you feel like, you know, it's going to take you weeks to catch up. This one is designed to be a little bit more manageable. So it's intentionally designed not to be overwhelming. So we're going to do that. We're also going to interact with the Word through Scripture memorization. If you think about it, we memorize song lyrics all the time. I could tell you lyrics of some dumb song I listened to as a teenager, and I still know every word of it, right? If we can do that with song lyrics, I promise you, we can learn and hide God's Word in our hearts and in our minds. Having the Word inside of us will benefit us, and it'll benefit those around us. The Word encourages us when we're down. It corrects the lies that we hear, that we're tempted to believe. And the Word ministers to our needs. And if we have the Word hidden in our hearts, the Word can minister to the needs of those around us through us. That's an incredible thing to think that just by investing time in God's Word, He can use that to help somebody else. That's awesome. I want to be a part of that. So the discipleship groups can help with Scripture memorization. And in your groups, you may decide, you know, we're going to do, as a church, we're going to do one a month for the year. So I've picked out 12 just key fundamental verses that I want us to learn together as a church family. And so we'll do that. And so if you learn it, you can go up to somebody else and say, hey, you know, test me on this. I want to see, you know, how well I'm doing on this. I talked about this briefly on Wednesday night, and I want to make it clear. I'll probably say this a lot. The important thing about Scripture memorization is not that you get every single word in the correct order. The important thing is that you understand what the text is saying and you know it. So if you came up and were going to tell me the verse for the month and you left out an and you left out a the, but I can tell, or whoever you're talking to can tell that you understand what the verse means, then you did it. That's good. That's a gold star, whatever. That's not a failure if we miss one little word, but we grasp the concept of what Scripture's saying, then we're going to benefit from that, right? So I don't want to be legalistic about this. I don't want people thinking, I got to get it, you know, just like this. Just we're going to seek to learn what those passages mean and be able to turn to them when life gets difficult. Anybody's life ever get difficult? Just me? Everybody? Every once in a while, life is going to get difficult, and it's so good. It's so cool the way God can use a verse of Scripture pop back into your head. You may not have read it in a long time, and that verse comes back, and you think, oh, yeah, he's still in control. Oh, yeah, he has a purpose for this suffering, right? All right. We can never get enough of God's Word, there's never too much of God's Word in our lives. So regular Bible reading, Scripture memorization, and then talked about this Wednesday night as well. We're going to do hear journals, or I'm going to encourage you to do hear journals. Hear is an acronym that stands for highlight, explain, apply, and respond. And some of y'all are like, this sounds too much like school. I'm out. Trust me, it's simple, and your understanding of what you read, I can't be the only one that can sit down to read a chapter and get done and think, I don't know what I just read. I have no idea what I just read. Anybody else ever do that? Just by taking it, it might take 15, 20 minutes to do a hear journal on a passage. You will understand the passage, and you're more likely to remember what you learned in the passage just by interacting with it through this journal. So we went over it. We did a couple of them Wednesday night in Bible study. I'm sure over the course of the year we'll give examples of how to do that. But if you're interested in that, you can come and talk to me, and we can sit down and pick out a passage, and we can do a hear journal together because I need the practice too. So if you need any kind of information about that, just want to know more about it, I would love to talk to you about that anytime. So just get with me. So doing these things will make a dramatic difference in our lives, in this church, and in our community if we commit to being in the Word regularly and if we allow the discipleship groups to help us with that, all right? All right, so the next component of discipleship, the discipleship process, is this. Discipleship involves being accountable to others. And this is such an important part of discipleship because accountability can help to protect us from the temptation to justify sin in our lives. Accountability is being real. Accountability is not putting on that mask that says, oh, life's great, I'm fine, when really we're falling apart. But we don't want anybody to know that, right? Accountability is the opposite of that. Being accountable means we have to be humble and we have to be vulnerable. And it also means we've got to have integrity and we got to be trustworthy enough for somebody to trust us with the things that are going on in their lives. Accountability is biblical. Let's look at a verse now. James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. We are to confess our sins to one another, and we're to pray for one another, and there is great power in prayer. So accountability in a discipleship group, it includes having regular conversations about how things are going in your life. It means regularly having conversations with the members of your group about your spiritual progress. So that's talking and praying about successes and failures, right? Again, it's important that we always remember that accountability involves trust and confidentiality. So the members of a discipleship group, they don't take what they hear and talk about it with others, right? They talk about it with each other, and they talk about it with the Lord. And that's it. That's where it ends. If that trust gets broken, it can do immeasurable damage to the people involved. So it is so important that we grasp that. I mean, one of the biggest barriers to people being involved in a discipleship group is not trusting that they can really be real with people and it not come back, you know, from somebody who wasn't even there, shouldn't have even known about it. So we got to be trustworthy. Accountability is usually resisted more than any other component of discipleship. People will say, oh, you want me to read the Bible more? Okay. You want me to pray with people? Okay. You want me to meet? Okay. Accountability. Somebody's going to be in my business and tell me that I'm going down the wrong road. Hey, I don't think I'm okay with that. Well, I didn't say it was going to be easy, but it is biblical and it is good for us. And our lives will be much better with it than without it, I promise you. All right. Discipleship not only involves studying the Word and being accountable, discipleship also involves praying with others. Discipleship involves praying with others. It involves knowing and being known by other believers so that we can pray specifically. There's a big difference in praying, Lord bless Brother Robert, and then going on to the next thing. It's okay to, I mean, I do want the Lord to bless Brother Robert, but if I know the things that he's going through and I can pray specifically about those things, I just believe there's more power in that prayer. If we have taken time to interact and share with each other and we can go before the throne of God and lift each other up, there's power in that prayer. Praying with others will make a huge difference in our lives. We've got to keep in mind that the devil loves to isolate believers. He absolutely loves to isolate believers. He can't take our salvation away, but he can isolate us and make us ineffective. We got to remember we are stronger together than we are apart. We're stronger together than we are apart. If we are all committed to living for the Lord biblically and loving each other like Jesus loves, I promise you we are going to be much, much stronger together than we would ever be alone. Maybe you're listening to all this and you're thinking, preacher, what do you want? I'm here. I'm not alone. I'm here. I got up this morning. I'm here. I'm glad you're here. But it's entirely possible to be completely alone in a sea of people. You can be in just the largest group of people you've ever been in and feel completely alone, like you are the only person, completely isolated. Even in a full sanctuary, we can feel alone. That's why discipleship is so important. We need those consistent relationships that are centered on God's Word. We need that in our lives. And a big part of that is prayer. As part of a discipleship group, there will be regular prayer for other members in our group. So we're going to look at that verse in James again, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. There is great power when God's people pray. All right. Discipleship also involves serving with others. Discipleship involves serving with others. It's putting feet to our faith. It's seeking to help others in need. It's the mindset that says, God has been so good to me. God has blessed me so much. And in response to that, I want to help somebody else. I want to be a blessing to somebody else. A couple of verses for us to look at that talk about service. Galatians 5:13. For you were called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. Each person is gifted by God, and we are to use our spiritual gifts to serve others in love, right? 1 Peter 4:10, just as each one has received a gift, use it to serve others. Y'all say serve others. As good stewards of the varied grace of God. Each person is gifted, and we got to use those gifts to serve others. So that can be serving together through planned projects to help somebody. And it can be emergency situations, like we want to be praying for all those that were affected by these tornadoes that came through several states, especially Kentucky got hit really hard, and we want to remember them. And if we have the opportunity to send supplies, we want to do that. If we have the opportunity to go there and help, we want to do that, right? So we do planned and we do sort of impromptu emergency serving. We just want to serve wherever we can. And in the coming year, I'm looking forward to us as a church getting more involved in the community and serving. And I'm looking forward to these discipleship groups. You know, there'll be things that the church plans, and then there'll be times that your group says, hey, I know a lady that is having a hard time keeping her grass cut, and the discipleship group just goes and takes care of her. And it doesn't even have to be, hey, the church told us to come do this. They just, they want to get out and serve and help. And so they do that together, right? When we serve others, we're not just being hearers of the word, we're being doers of the word. That is so important. All right, finally, discipleship involves intentionally investing in others. It's intentionally reproducing other strong believers who will then disciple others, who will then disciple others, and it just continues. It is a commitment to invest in the lives of others. Now, we looked at this verse last week, and I really believe this is going to be sort of the verse for the church in 2022. It's 2 Timothy 2:2. And let's read it together. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Like I said last week, there's four generations of discipleship there. You've got the you is Timothy, the me is Paul, faithful men, that's your third generation, who will be able to teach others also, that's the fourth. It just keeps going, right? My former pastor used to say, salvation didn't come to you, and salvation came to us on its way to somebody else, right? It doesn't stop with us, right? Spiritual growth, it's not an isolated thing. We want to grow, and we want our brothers and sisters in Christ to grow. And so we intentionally invest in others. So a discipleship group, it starts with the understanding that it is eventually going to branch off into other groups. And that's kind of unique. I mean, there's not many groups that start and the shelf life is already known. Like, hey, we're going to start, we're going to do this, it's going to be awesome. And then we're going to stop and we're each going to make another group. And then that's going to be awesome. And we're going to do that for a period of time. And then it's going to stop. And then we're going to, and it's just going to keep going and keep going. But that's what this does. Listen, the friendships, the relationships of the discipleship group, they don't end, right? But maybe the, hey, we're meeting on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., maybe that ends. That changes to something else. But you're still friends. You still have a relationship with those people, even when you intentionally turn your focus to pouring into somebody else, right? A discipleship group may last 6 months, it may last a year, but eventually the group splits off so that others can be discipled. There's a man you may have heard of him, Howard Hendricks, a very accomplished author, wrote a ton of books, pastor, seminary professor. He made a huge impact on so many lives during his lifetime. And I want you to listen to this quote from Howard Hendricks. He says, every disciple needs three types of relationships in his life. He needs a Paul who can mentor and challenge him. He needs a Barnabas who can come alongside him and serve with him and encourage him. And he needs a Timothy, somebody he can pour his life into. I believe he is 100% spot on with that. We all need mentors. We all need co-workers in the faith. And we all need an apprentice we can pour into, right? What we do when we come together as a church family will change dramatically for the good, for the better, when we stop coming to church as just attenders and consumers and we start coming to church as worshipers and co-workers, our lives will dramatically change. Our relationship with Jesus will dramatically change for the better. So I want each one of us to be praying about being a part of a discipleship group. Get along with God, ask for His direction concerning this, and if you are willing to invest your time into a discipleship group, I genuinely believe it will benefit you spiritually more than you can imagine. So we already have a couple of these groups that have started recently, and we're praying for several more of these groups to start up. And the goal is to have at least 3 ladies' discipleship groups and 3 men's discipleship groups meeting regularly by the end of January. So about 7 weeks from now, I'm praying that we'll have at least 3 groups of ladies, 3 groups of men meeting, diving into the Word, praying for each other, holding each other accountable, and just growing in the Lord together. If we end up with more than that, that's awesome. I hope we blow those numbers out of the water. The groups, they can meet here at the church. They can meet in somebody's house. You can meet at a restaurant or anywhere that you want to, whatever works best for your group. And we need, it's another thing to be praying about, we need people that are willing to lead the groups. And this is not, it doesn't involve like teaching a lesson. It's just basically kind of being that person that holds it together and that you're committing to encourage the other people. Hey, we're having a D group on this night. Hey, hope to see you there. Hey, this is what we're reading. And I've got resources that I would love to give you and love to talk with you and pray through this with you. Anything that you would need that could help you with this, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader. I'm going to be your biggest support, and I'm going to do everything I can to make these groups as successful spiritually and as effective spiritually as I possibly can. All right? So I want to read some of our main text again as we finish up. Train yourself in godliness, for the training of the body has limited benefit. But godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. For this reason, we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Say, what do you mean He's the Savior of all people? Does that mean everybody's going to be saved? It means everybody can be saved. It means it's available to everybody. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what the devil whispers in your ear and tells you. You've done too much. You've gone too far. You could never be saved. God would never want you. God would never love you. That's all a lie. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is available to all. I believe discipleship is going to make a significant impact in each of our lives, in this church, and in this community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You and we thank You for the Word of God. We thank You that it calls to our attention ways that we can...